the behavior of the desperate. There's a holy desperation that has to get on your despair. There's nothing holy about despair, but there's something holy about desperation. Despair makes you downcast, listless, and causes you to back off. But desperation makes you hungry and thirsty. And the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, or for that matter, any of the things of God, for they shall be filled. Who will be filled? Not those in despair necessarily, but those who are desperate, who have put desperation on top of their despair and said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to trust God in the midst of my situation. Now, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And I'm going to show you something that happened in the same location. There is something about regional anointing. There's something about being at the right place at the right time. Imagine that girl that was going to the well when Jesus happened to pass by in John chapter 4. That caused a whole city to be changed. There's something about this place, Jericho. That's one of the most profound stories in the Bible. When God prompted Joshua and Caleb and the generation to go cross the Jordan, the first encounter with difficulty that they had was in a town called Jericho. Jericho, by most archaeologist accounts, is the oldest of all the world cities. It had a wall around the city. It was a walled city. And God anointed Joshua and Caleb to go up to this barrier and march around it and blast some trumpets. And God knocked the walls of Jericho down. Great old spiritual songs have been sung about Jericho. And I mean, we've heard it preached in Sunday school. It's been on the flannel board. It speaks of breakthrough. It speaks of victory. It speaks of a barrier broken down and an open opportunity. And it's an amazing thing. I mean, if you want to be encouraged, go back and read that story where the walls of Jericho knocked down. It will help you with your child rearing. It will help you in your marriage. It will help you in your finances. It will help you in your outlook on life, because we serve a supernatural God. Amen. And now Jesus is passing by or leaving Jericho. Now, I want to go to, the first place I want to go to is the story about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a vertically challenged individual, but he did not let that stop him. Sometimes there are challenges in our lives. Sometimes there are restrictions and limitations. The testimony we just saw of the news clip from Memphis, the challenge of that woman was that at 92 years old, she could not take on physically the aggression of a man getting in her car to mug her. But greater is he that's in her than he that's in the world. So there was a handicap there. In fact, she had a handicap placard on her rearview mirror. But me don't think that girl was handicapped. We think the girl had a huge edge. And I mean, and if you saw the newsman on that interview, he was pretty excited. He was preaching. He said she ministered to him. I mean, he was using church lingo. I think, you know, it was pretty amazing. But Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. And I want you to notice this. The behavior of the desperate doesn't take no for an answer. It doesn't shrink back. It doesn't just wait for just the most ideal moment. The behavior of the desperate gets kind of radical, gets kind of determined. This is what I pray will be aroused in your spirit right now. How many of you have ever been through some trouble? Every one of us. How many of you have experienced the dark moments of depression or uncertainty or confusion or some of these other things? It happens in life. That's why David, when he said, why so downcast, O my soul? Why are you in despair? Put your hope in God. That is the behavior of the desperate. It's like, I have got to have God. I need God in this situation. Jesus is passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. So this establishes his career and his economic station in life. This guy had prominence. This guy was also reviled and was disliked in his community. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. What does it say in the King James in verse 3? And he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. That is number one behavior of the desperate. You got to find Jesus in this thing. We got to look for the Lord. This guy, in fact, he was unable because of the crowd. Remember, he was shorter. He was small in stature. So what did he do? He didn't shrink away and sulk. He didn't get bitter at the people that were taller than him. He didn't get upset. He ran on ahead and climbed up. This is the behavior of the desperate. Early in my life, I noticed this, and by God's grace, he's helped me to make some adjustments. But you could cut off your nose to spite your face. That's an old cliche, which basically means in those kinds of moments, it's like you get this weird, sour kind of feeling of dismissal or rejection, and you start going in the opposite direction of where the help is. But what we learn from Zacchaeus is even though this guy had prominence, and even though this guy had resources financially, he wanted to know who this Jesus was. He wanted to know why the crowd was there. He wanted to know what all this hoopla was about. So he ran ahead and climbed up. Now, this isn't elbowing. This isn't pushy. This isn't suggesting that the behavior of the desperate climbs over people and to get ahead. This just means in his own right, he yielded to a hunger in his heart, and he had to see Jesus. He had to get whatever God had for him. And I pray you get this in your spirit. I pray as I preach this, it stirs up a hunger in you. I pray that this makes you tenacious. I pray this gets you back where your ears pinned back. You know, recently I got to ride horses with my sons, and I hadn't ridden a horse for about 5 years. And this horse kept looking at me and pinning his ears back. And I don't know a whole lot about horses, but I knew that anytime an animal pins their ears back, you got to watch out. If a dog pins its ears back, if Patsy pins her ears back, you just have to watch out. I'm going to go right back to my notes here. I'm getting scared. So he ran on ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Notice, he didn't let the fact that Jesus was passing by stop him from finding and seeing and looking to him. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." When Jesus came to the place and he looked up and he spoke to him, let me tell you something. I think what was happening there was the hunger and the behavior of the desperation of Zacchaeus prompted Jesus. It was the same thing that happened when Jesus was passing by to go to Jairus' house and the woman with a hemorrhage touched his garment and he had virtue come out of him. He said, "Who touched me?" I think that is exactly what happened in this place. Zacchaeus wasn't just somebody up in the tree at Shea Stadium to go see the Beatles, or somebody out in the grandstands hoping to catch the home run ball of the 500th home run or whatever. There was something apparently on the inside of this guy that was making him hunger for what Jesus had, and that put a demand on that anointing. And in verse 5, Jesus came to the place. He looked up in the tree, and he astounded the crowd. He said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." The behavior of the desperate stopped Jesus in his tracks and inspired him to go to his house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, the crowd, they all began to grumble, saying, "Hey, he's gone to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner." Now this shows that the crowd did not really like Zacchaeus. And they started grumbling about it. "Look at Jesus going to be with that guy." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." But if you notice, Zacchaeus was doing some seeking himself. And the behavior of the desperate is that if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. And if we ask, we will receive. Come on, you guys. This guy climbed the tree. He says, "I'm going to go to your house." And then it jumps right over to Zacchaeus. It's like we don't see anything. We don't hear any of the conversation in the house. We don't know what they had for the meal. We don't know what the seating arrangement was. We don't know where Jesus slept. We don't know what the deal was, but Jesus goes in there, and Zacchaeus, the next thing, he comes out and he says, "Hey, I want to make restitution for my old life. He had had an encounter with the Savior, and part of the behavior of the desperate is that they get results. They get results. I've noticed God has rewarded my hunger, and I notice the danger of inertia and the crippling nature of yielding to the temptation to get numb-headed and to back off in times of crisis. We have got to learn from this guy Zacchaeus. At this place, Jesus stopped in his tracks and ministered to a guy, and it changed his whole life. And we're still telling the story about him 2,000 years later. I love this little section of Scripture. It says volumes about Jesus stopping in his tracks. He was going to pass through, you guys. In fact, you ought to do a study on the places where Jesus intended just to pass by and what happened when people tapped into it. He was walking on water, and he intended to pass by. So then they called out to him, but he was passing by. He was just going to walk by the boat. I love Jesus so much for that. Jesus was going to pass by. As if to say he's looking to see the behavior of the desperate. Do you want it enough? Are you hungry? Or are you going to shrink back? His soul has no delight in those who shrink back. One of our big enemies, you guys, is passivity, apathy, or just the mind-numbing yielding to the difficulties of life where it makes us enter into resignation. I've noticed that Joshua and Caleb were in their 80s when they got the big stride. Now, I want you to go over to another person that I see the desperation on, and that's in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. By the way, Jesus, at the last part of that verse, said he came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to revive and to restore and to heal and to change people's lives, you guys. And he's the same Jesus today as he was then, and he has just as much potency and vibrancy and intent now as he does then. I think he's passing through this room right now. I think he's looking to find people who are hungry. In fact, you guys are Zacchaeus types, because when it's pouring down rain and lightning is striking and the weather's weird, you still got out in your car. You didn't let a few raindrops stop you. You pressed in. Some of you have exhaustion. Some of you work 60, 70 hours this week. But you're climbing the tree. You have got to see Jesus. You're trying to make some sense of this life. You're trying to get your bearings. You're trying to embrace the significance that you sense in your heart you're created for. Zacchaeus is interesting. I think it's interesting that it said what his vocation was and what his economic level was, and it's still underscored that people said, he's a sinner, and he was basically saying, I have got to have something more. I am desperate. What I have in my life is good and everything, but it's not filling that void that I need, that I think he might be able to fulfill. Again, he comes to Jericho. See, I think things happen in places. There's a precedent set, and it's an environment that showcases the miraculous. And I noticed this when David gave instruction to Solomon about building the temple, that one of the key elements of the blueprint of the layout of the temple was the porch. Now, it wasn't like a little porch with a rocking chair like our porches. It was a big, elaborate thing. But Jesus then, that's where he asserted his deity. Hundreds of years later, after David and his son Solomon built this temple, later on, Jesus, that environment showcases this next step. And I think this is something to note. Part of the behavior of the desperate is they expect God to move, not just on their situation, but when they call down the blessings of God in their region or their part of the world, they're expecting that to always be a place that has sustainable presence of God. Marlon just went home to be with the Lord in his 90s, told me that when he was in the 1930s, he was raised out here, he rode on the back of a tractor with the family that owned this property out here, and he said they prayed and they dedicated this space to the glory of God. I don't take that lightly. I'm not going to romanticize it. He told me that. I made him tell me it a couple of times. He never was senile to his end. So he wasn't just babbling. And indeed, somebody prayed here. When we were looking for a place in the beginnings, early beginnings 20 years ago of our church, we were invited into the Salvation Army West Page Corps. We started out here, but then we went up there for a while. And that building was established by a group of Christians that later went down to the next place we ended up finding ourselves. And we actually found we were tracking in people back in the 60s that were pioneer church planters. And we actually got in the draft of their behavior of desperation and where they believed God and established a good church that later became the Salvation Army that now takes care of the less fortunate and people that are, you know, battered wives and substance abuse folks, and they've always been, you know, very powerful at helping people in hurting situations. God's continually doing something great from the precedent set by people like Zacchaeus, who would not let up until they saw the glory of God come in. This is a miraculous environment. That might just make you go, wow, look, God responds to faith. God responds to desperation. Zacchaeus was so hungry to see Jesus, he ran through the crowd and climbed a tree. Now Jesus is walking by, and when he came to that place, he said, today I have to go to your house. The woman with the hemorrhage, when she touched the hem of his garment, she got something from God. I know when I became a Christian, it was in the context of seeking with the whole heart. I got to a point of desperation where I felt I wasn't just thinking of spiritual philosophy. In Southern California, where I was raised, I wasn't raised in church. I went and visited churches. I believed in Jesus probably, but then there were all these Eastern things, and it was hip to be Eastern and all that stuff, and I was 16 and, you know, acted like I knew more than I did. But at the end of the day, I got convicted of my sin. And all of a sudden, all these interesting philosophies just sort of paled. And God, at that moment, I was so convicted. I said, God, if you're real, show me. Sure enough, he reveals Jesus to me. And Jesus shows up. I mean, I relate to this. I felt like Jesus might have been passing by, but, you know, I was like, God! In fact, I want you to go to this verse now, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This is one of my favorite guys in the Bible because he has a cool name, but more importantly, this is an amazing testimony. Verse 46, when they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Now, isn't that interesting? It defines his station in life, his economic level, and it shows the extreme of Zacchaeus, the prominent, the affluent, and it shows a broken down guy that's begging. And it shows Jesus impartial. It shows the behavior of the desperate on two ends of the spectrum. And it shows Jesus' sameness and his attitude toward these needs. And the woman with the hemorrhage was an outcast, was not allowed in society, in that male-dominated society and so forth, and was also banished because of her sickness. So there were like several handicap strikes against her. But she pressed through the crowd. Zacchaeus ran through the crowd, and Bartimaeus shouted over the crowd. So there is a behavioral pattern here that we've got to consider. In fact, I will say this. I am speaking to the ranks of Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus types. I'm speaking into your spirit, spiritual things taught in spiritual words, and prompting you in the direction you're already going in. I'm anointed to preach this to you, to stir you in this area, to not grow weary in well-doing, to not shrink back, to not enter into that sulking situation. This is, in fact, a turning point for some of you, and you needed me to get up here and preach this to you because you're being tempted on a higher level than usual, and you're actually, some of you have entertained and actually started to cherish the idea of what it might feel like just to get passive and back off. And I want to urge you not to do that. Do not go there. Do not shrink back. The Bible says Caleb had a different spirit in him because he sought the Lord his God fully. When I became a Christian, the Bible says you'll seek for me and you'll find me when? When you're moving in the behavior of the desperate. When you search for him with all of your heart. In fact, I've talked to different people. I said, I don't know, Jesus, I can't find God. You guys all get all to God. I don't get it. And I try to lovingly say, I know when you get to the point where you're behaving in desperation, you will find. I've been in situations where I've lost stuff and I looked and looked and looked and looked. Finally, I went, I think I'm going to pray about this. I've been in frustrating situations where I've leaned on my own understanding and tried to figure, and then I thought, wait a minute. God, I need wisdom. And you said you'd give it to me. I've entered into situations where it's way beyond my realm of understanding. It's way beyond current information. Aren't you glad God'll, He's got your back and your front and your sides, top and your bottom. He's got it all covered. Aren't you glad that Zacchaeus climbs a tree and he's holding onto this tree and Jesus goes to the place and he goes, come on, I got to go to your house. He's walking down the crowd and he's going from point A to point B and somebody jumps in the middle where it's not even intended for them. And they go, if I just touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus goes, whoa, who touched me? I felt virtue come out of me. The disciples are going, oh, Lord, get busy doing your Jesus thing and get on over there to Jairus' house. Don't you know everybody's bumping into you? Imagine these people counseling the Lord. Everybody's bumping into you. Come on, let's get moving, Jesus. We got ministry to attend to here, Jesus. Crowd parts. There's this lady. She's healed. She's no longer hemorrhaging, which must have been one of the most wonderful things. Imagine Zacchaeus. You know, he's profited by thievery. So he comes out and says, I'm going to make this all straight. He had a lot of stuff tangibly at his fingertips, but his heart was fractured with sin. He has Jesus at his house, and he comes out of the house and goes, hey, man, I'm a different person. The behavior of the desperate hungers and thirsts and presses in. It also obtains results. The woman with a hemorrhage no longer could be called the woman with a hemorrhage. Zacchaeus got straightened out and restored what he had done and lived the rest of his life, apparently, in redemption. Must have had an 8,000-pound gorilla lifting off his back. Now, Bartimaeus. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. You know, that's what the blind did. They would beg at the roadside. That was their means of support, was they the kindness of the people that would come by. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, notice this, Son of David. Everybody say, Son of David. Have mercy on me. Part of the behavior of the desperate is rooted in that Son of David comment. Because what that is saying is Bartimaeus is saying, that guy is the promised one. So he had heard about Jesus and he lined up his systems of belief and adhered his heart to what he had heard, and there was an adherence of faith. He said, I got to have what you have. Now remember, Jesus was passing by and he said, Jesus, Son of David! And it says he began to cry out. Notice the behavior of the desperate. Many, now look at, here's the behavior of the disciples again. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, which means, shut up! Now, I know in most Christian homes, parents teach their kids, you're not allowed to say shut up in the home and stuff, but for the purposes of this message, that's what he was saying here. They were saying, shut up! They were barking at him, you know? We got ministry business, man! Come on! Jesus, get moving! Don't pay attention to that guy! We got stuff going on over there! He kept crying. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man and saying to him, take courage and stand up. He is calling for you. Verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Verse 50 is very telling. It's the behavior of the desperate. The cloak, from what the church historians and the commentators would say about that, is it was an identifier of his blindness. It was like a tin cup and sunglasses. It was like a white cane that identified him and qualified him in society to say, that guy actually is a blind guy. And he threw it off, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now remember, he's still blind here. The behavior of the desperate is, he's not taking no for an answer. He's not just going to let Jesus pass by. How many people in Jesus' three-year earthly ministry just sat in silence and allowed despair to govern them instead of stepping it up a notch and getting in desperation? And this is what pleases God, is this attitude of faith, of God, I will not take no for an answer. It's not a human tenacity. It's not the performance of our flesh. It's the disposition of our heart. We realize in the Scripture that God has no pleasure in those who shrink back. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction. We are of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And the Scripture says in Hebrews to learn from our predecessors and imitate their faith. Or in effect, we've got to learn to understand the behavior of the desperate, and we've got to press in whatever situation we're in. I got off the phone today from somebody who has an attack of cancer. And the good news for me is I'm hearing the behavior of the desperate. They're adjusting. They've repented of an apathetic life. They're repenting of sin. They're coming to God. And it's not foxhole repentance. It's actually very deep. And they're going to get results. And God's looking for people who will catch this kind of thing. There are people in here who have lost loved ones and who have experienced impossible to figure out losses that were designed to just make you want to back off and become bitter toward God. But you didn't. Why? Because you turned, instead of turning against God, you said, where else could I go? You have the words of eternal life. I will not let this circumstance of my life sour me toward you. I was interviewed on a television program, and a couple asked me, it was a Christian program, and we were talking about, it was years ago, about the flood of 93, and I was talking about how God had miraculously got us in the building, and then tragically it flooded, but God had, by His Holy Spirit, warned me in a prophetic kind of premonition, got me back out from out of town. I got in the situation, I got everything out of the building. In 3.5 hours, we got everything out of the building. Even those doors on the hinges, we took them off the hinges. It was absolutely fantastic. And the guy looked at me and said, did you get mad at God? I said, no. I mean, I've been a Christian since 1972. I've never been mad at God. He is not my problem. He is my helper. He is wonderful. And I still haven't been able to figure that out. Now, some people talk to me and say they got mad at God. I can't get mad at God. He's the one guy. I'm not going to get mad at God. I don't want to become a burnt match head for one thing. Well, God, I made it. You know, it's like, I have more sermons to preach. I have more hills to climb. I have more enjoyment with Patsy, and I want to see my grandkids and stuff like that. I want to learn from the behavior of the desperate. Because Zacchaeus, man, he said, I've got to see Jesus. I have apologized to God profusely for holding to inactivity. When it says act like men, that means be people of action. God has called us to be strong, courageous, and act. And this is where this separates the men from the boys, so to speak. God is wanting us to understand something in the principles of the Bible here, as we learn from these ancients. A guy that was vertically challenged, and a guy that was visually challenged. And a woman that was challenged in her body where she was an outcast. I talked to Bayless today. His son, while he was out of town, he scheduled a speaker. He's got a weekend meeting for young people called Fuse Sunday nights, and the theme this month is about rejects. It's called Rejects. And the first guest speaker is an ex-stripper. Got quiet. You don't know how to respond to that, do you? I imagine that's going to be a powerful meeting. X is the word. Patsy's clarifying that. Who's come out of that life and has received healing and has received acceptance and has received the love of God and has been healed. That's going to be a powerful meeting. But none of you are going to fly out there because we're going to have Paul here next week from the Philippines, and he's got some stories to tell too. He was never a stripper, I want to tell you that. But this guy stripped off his garment. There you go. And verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, in other words, ridding himself of the identity that he wanted Jesus to address. I'm at a turning point now. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the attitude and the behavior of the desperate was, Jesus is passing by. He's got the goods because he's the Nazarene, but he's the Son of David. And Jesus, I'm not going to take no from these disciples that are trying to tell me to shut up. David, King David did that when the brothers were telling him to shut up and he was pressing in there to meet his destiny and conquer Goliath and precipitate a lifestyle of conquest. God's called us to be more than conquerors. That means we've got things to conquer. And it has occurred to me that this life is training ground for eternity. It's brief, but it has eternal consequence. And I want to learn the behavior of the desperate because the Bible says that faith pleases God. And these guys exhibited faith in interesting ways. They ran through the crowd and climbed a tree. They pressed through the crowd and touched his garment. This guy's crying out over the loudness of the crowd, and they're not allowing the fact that Jesus is passing by. They're not letting that stop them. Lester Sumrall was this guy that spanned many, many decades of ministry work. He traveled through the 30s and the 40s. He saw a lot of great things. I had the pleasure and privilege of having meals with him. And he made a statement that stuck with me when I was in my 20s. He said, I told God, God, please don't do anything without letting me in on it first and letting me be part of it. That put a holy desperation in my spirit that I would see this senior mentor type hungering for the fresh things of God. Not fad. In fact, I talked to him once and he said, is it hype or is it holy? When I was telling him what I saw, some things that God was doing, and he wasn't aware of it. And I was saying, well, this is something that I see a spark going on there. That was what he asked, because he also wanted to differentiate between the hype and the holy. He didn't want to chase after a bunch of sparks. He wanted the real fire of God. Zacchaeus wasn't climbing the tree to socialize with Jesus, and yet he got to have a social moment with Jesus. The woman with the hemorrhage wasn't expecting to have a conversation with Jesus. She just figured, if I just get near him, he's the dispenser of the goodness of God. I'll get healed. I pray that gets down in your spirit right now. I've had to fight through some things in the last few days, unrelated to the healing and so forth, but some other things about wisdom. And I read in James chapter 1 that we're to ask in faith without any doubting. And I said, okay, I'm not doubting. I know I'm going to get wisdom from God here. And God has been giving me wisdom. The behavior of the desperate is, I'm going to ask, and I'm going to trust you, and I know I'm going to hear from God. I am not going to waver in this. God, you hear and you answer prayer. I've got all kinds of information from the Bible on this. Your ear is inclined to the prayer of the upright. Come on, listen to me, because this will extend your days. This will cause you to break through when other people are peeling off. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And I'm going to tell you, I have renewed my desire to see you guys thrive, no matter what the circumstances are in the world around you. That every one of you realizes the fullness of your destiny. And right now, this is kind of a ladder-holding teaching. I'm just showing you behavior that'll get you from here to there. Climb the tree. Don't take no for an answer. Cry out to God. Break out of your apathy. Even if you have to go to God and say, God, I've been apathetic. I don't even feel like praying right now, and you know that. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm asking you to heal it. He will. He'll get you back on the fire and on the surge side, get you out of decline, and get you back into ascending. Because listen, this is what I'm telling you. I've talked a lot of Patsy about this. I have such an appreciation for my seniors, given the set of circumstances that I've had to deal with, and thinking of how some of theirs were going through the depression and things far worse than mine, and yet have a smile on their face, have a work disposition, an attitude to serve, hey, put me to work, I want to pray, a song in their heart. And I look at that and I think, like I looked at Lester Sumrall and I saw him live into his 80s. He came back off the mission field in the Philippines and started a TV ministry when he was 50. You're not supposed to start then. You're supposed to start when you're young and have all that spark and pizzazz. No, wait a minute. In God, it's irrelevant. Whether you're rich and the tax gatherer, whether you're blind and you're begging, or whether you're a lady with a hemorrhage or whatever, you see, God takes rejects, seeks them out, and blesses them and brings their life up into an amazing level. So part of the behavior of the desperate is understanding from these verses, hey, that God is my God. And I am inviting him into my world, and I am not allowing this, because God's not giving me a spirit of fear or timidity to cower. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. They're paranoid, but the righteous are bold as lions. And that's one of the behaviors here. This guy's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the apostles of the Lamb, who wrote the Bible, trying to shut him up, and he's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus comes back, and then they'll go, hey, he's here now. He's going to take care of you. It's so funny. Throws off his cloak, jumps up, and answering Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus is waiting for him to tell him what he wants. Dare we believe this? That I think, you know, we're waiting around for something to happen. God's waiting for us to ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. We're so busy, man, but we're so blunted and burdened that we back off oftentimes of expectancy. And my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. And my friends, this is not a young person's sport. This is why the 92-year-old lady, the champion in Memphis, blessed me so much. Because in the moment of desperation, she operated in the grace of God and the wisdom of God, and it got her out of possible death or injury or a carjacking or who knows what. And now we're having a Friday night meeting celebrating her testimony. Hallelujah. The Bible says this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. Hallelujah. For some reason, Patsy and I, in the 30 years we've been married and 20-something, 8 years of ministry, we looked at some pictures of us when we went over to England back in 1980. We've been traveling all over, preaching everywhere. God, for some reason, has not exempted us from trouble. You know, you'd think that you're in ministry, that you just have a flowery bed of ease and no problems. But it's kind of like they're almost amped up. And I'm not, you know, we're not going to have a testimony duel and try to see, oh, wait a minute, no, you don't know. But we're not exempt. We still have to operate in these principles and these truths. We still have to fight through and wrestle. We've got to forgive. We've got to walk in love. We've got to discipline ourselves. And we've got to learn from this same book you do. And see in this verse the kind of behavior of the desperate that brings results. You guys, I'm telling you what. This is road tested, man. I've watched God do some amazing things. He is so faithful. We must not turn any of what we say into cliches or church speak, because it in fact is true. God is faithful. God is so good, and He's worthy of our consideration. Look here. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni," or teacher, "I want to regain my sight." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him on the road. And you don't see him go back and pick up his blind guy coat. You don't see him go and use his handicap placard so he could get better parking. You see him leave that in the dust and follow Jesus. Hallelujah. So that behavior of the desperate there is his identity that got him attention and even earned his livelihood. He needed to forsake it when Jesus brought healing to him. And it moved him out of that identity and moved him up into being a follower of Jesus. And he left that in the dust. Zacchaeus left conniving in the dust. The woman with a hemorrhage left her disease in the dust and went on for the who knows what kind of interesting dynamic life those people had. The behavior of the desperate got an amazing result. Jesus stopped in his tracks. He stopped at that spot. It was right by that Jericho, which tells me that the precedence of the miraculous, Jesus is still passing by, still looking for people that have that kind of interest in him. Now, a couple of you have become numbed. And I want to tell you, having been there, done that, that's not a healthy place to be. Repent of inertia and trust God to get you back in a vibrancy. Ask God to make you hungry again and get you back in fervency. That's called recovery. Once you recover, don't get in a recovery as a life identity. You recover in order that you could press on into the fullness of what God has for you. Yeah. I talked to Tom yesterday. Zimbabwe is in one of the most critical times of its already difficult history. And God just keeps prospering. And God, in fact, has used our church, and He'll tell you that, to stir something during a time of, He said their wheels were to a halt. The morale was gone. And He said what we brought was a spirit of faith. So I just saw on TV tonight, I saw their church, and I thought, praise God, we got to have a part in that. And I think about when Martha was complaining to Jesus about her brother's death. And He overcame all of her unbelief. And He said, did I not say that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And then He said, hey, go roll away the stone. He let this murmurer who was incapacitated with unbelief, was actually mad at God, and got her included in the breakthrough of her brother. That's why last few weeks I've been teaching on he that refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Some of you that are down, go in and help people. The next flood or whatever, let's get in the truck and let's go fix. Well, I'm an executive. Well, so was Zacchaeus. but you can still go clean a house. I met a one-eyed Assembly of God pastor up in Springfield, and he was in World War II. He was a prisoner of war with the Japanese, and he said he hated the Japanese. And he got saved. He got home and he got saved. And guess where God called him to be a missionary for 40 years? He told his testimony, and I just sat there and cried. I just cried. He had lost his eye in the war, and he was looking at me, and he's got the missing eye, and he told me about the work that had happened over there. I mean, I'm telling you, it gave me goosebumps on goosebumps as I saw the behavior of the desperate. Where God turned his bitterness, turned it around, and used it as a platform. Listen, God is saying something tonight. I want to pray for you that God will stir up a hunger in your spirit. The behavior of the desperate pressed through the crowd, climbed a tree, overcame obstacles, had to see Jesus. Didn't wait around for popular opinion, didn't investigate peer pressure, had an internal drive and responded to that internal drive and got what they needed. Didn't let anything else satisfy them, but had to have God.